U.S. lawmakers move to rein in the TSA. Jack Pelton says Cessna may not be done with layoffs. And was a Colgan Air whistleblower ignored before the crash of Flight 3407? This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, June 5th, 2009. There's good news to report regarding general aviation and the U.S. Transportation Security Administration. There are safeguards built into the laws governing new federal regulations, which are supposed to stop bureaucrats from imposing unneeded or unworkable rules on businesses and private citizens. It's called the Administrative Procedures Act, or APA. The TSA has disregarded the APA in its recent security directive that mandates a clumsy and expensive security badge program for general aviation pilots at commercial airports. Just as the FAA must be reauthorized and funded every few years, the TSA is going through its own reauth battle right now. House Resolution 2200 now contains an amendment offered by four GOP congressmen, which requires TSA to follow APA guidelines unless there is an imminent threat. Among other important provisions in H.R. 2200 are creation of an Aviation Security Advisory Committee for aviation stakeholders and a general aviation working group within it to give the GA community a forum to formulate recommendations on GA security proposals for TSA consideration. The bill, in its current form, would also prohibit TSA from outsourcing terror watch list reviews to third parties, as it has proposed to do in its large aircraft security program. We apparently have a way to go before the recession bottoms out, at least in aviation. In a letter to employees posted publicly yesterday in the Wichita Eagle, Cessna CEO Jack Pelton says more layoffs are inevitable, but offers no specific numbers. Cessna is the nation's largest manufacturer of corporate jets, but has laid off 44% of its workforce since November. In the letter, Pelton says, quote, "The latest economic information indicates that while the recession may have reached a bottom in March, it will still be some time before we see the kind of growth in the economy that will assure us that our customers will take delivery of our products and order new planes in the coming years. Order cancellations have not stopped. The market for new aircraft remains frozen as customers wait to see if the recovery forecasted comes to fruition," unquote. The layoffs are especially tough in Wichita, where both Hawker Beechcraft and Bombardier Learjet have also had layoffs. New York Senator Charles Schumer is calling for an immediate investigation into the case of an FAA inspector who tried to alert his superiors to alleged irregularities in Colgan Air's operation of its first Q400 regional turboprop and found himself reassigned to a desk job. The New York Times reports that Christopher Montelion reported that Colgan Air exceeded the aircraft's speed range three times and never checked for damage, and flew with a broken radio, among other issues. His reports came 13 months before a Q400 operated by Colgan crashed on approach to Buffalo Niagara International Airport, killing 49 on board and one more person on the ground. The FAA denies that Montelion had his job changed as a disciplinary matter. Schumer said Wednesday, quote, "This seems to be a classic whistleblower case where a dedicated public servant's actions might have saved 50 lives. There must be an immediate investigation to see if his allegations were true, and if they are, there must be immediate action on the part of the FAA to reform their procedures," unquote. Up next on ANN, Lance Air's Piston Evolution makes its first flight. The Air Force's proof-of-concept composite cargo plane takes to the sky. And United Airlines looks at buying 150 new planes at mid-recession prices. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800 for Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 5th. I'm Paul Plack. Lance Air International, based in Redmond, Oregon, announced yesterday the successful first flight of its newest Evolution model, The piston version will be powered by Lycoming's new IE2 engine series and provide a high level of automation in engine operation and performance, allowing true single-lever operation. The Piston Evolution cruises at 270 knots and has a full fuel payload of 1,074 pounds. The Evolution is a pressurized four-seater, available with either piston or turboprop power plants. The company says its high-altitude speed, coupled with docile slow-speed handling, makes it ideal for affordable cross-country travel. Lance Air is celebrating its 25th year selling high-performance piston and turbine kit aircraft and has delivered over 2,000 kits. The Air Force Research Laboratory and Lockheed Martin's Skunk Works have announced a successful first flight of the ACCA, or Advanced Composite Cargo Aircraft, Tuesday at Palmdale, California. The plane is a modified Dornier 328J, with the fuselage aft of the crew station and the vertical tail, replaced with completely new structural designs made of advanced composite materials fabricated using out-of-autoclave curing. The fuselage is wider and stronger to accommodate military standard pallets and features a cargo door and cargo ramp. The composite construction reduces the plane's parts count by 90% and drops the number of required mechanical fasteners from 30,000 to about 4,000, according to program officials. Rob Rowe, the Lockheed Martin lead ACCA test pilot, was at the controls for the 87-minute flight on Tuesday. Quote, "Today is one of those perfect days where I get to be the first to fly a new aircraft and everything goes exactly as planned. The aircraft was a real pleasure to fly, and we experienced absolutely no issues," unquote. Barth Shank, an ACCA program manager with the Air Force, says the plane is not intended to be a prototype for eventual production, just a technology demonstrator to show what's possible. But he adds, quote, "This has the potential to change aircraft manufacturing as we presently know it for the better," unquote. In a year when Boeing and Airbus will struggle just to achieve positive net orders, United Airlines says it thinks the timing is right to get a good deal on 150 new planes. Bloomberg reports UAL may place an order by the end of the year, replacing as many as 111 of United's wide-body planes and 97 of its 757 narrow-bodies. Both Airbus and Boeing have been asked for bids. Chris Terry, an independent airline analyst based in London, applauds United's thinking. Quote, "If you want good prices, this is the time to buy. It's been ages since they ordered any planes. If you're going to buy 150 planes, then you're going to get a very good price, particularly for near-term deliveries," unquote. The average age of United's existing fleet is 13 years. That's 2 years higher than the industry average. Still ahead, another space tourist heads for the International Space Station. A dauntless bomber will be recovered from beneath Lake Michigan. And a teenaged private pilot greases her first dead stick. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, June 5th. I'm Paul Plack. When it came to light that there would be an extra seat on a September Soyuz mission, private spaceflight enthusiasts publicly wondered which wealthy client of Space Adventures would become the next tourist to visit the International Space Station. It turns out it will be Guy Laliberte, founder of Cirque du Soleil and the One Drop Foundation, who's already training in Russia. The launch is scheduled for September 30th. Laliberte says of his upcoming trip, quote, "I am honored and humbled today with my new description, humanitarian space explorer, and the purpose is clear, to raise awareness on water issues to humankind on planet Earth," unquote. During his 12-day stay at the ISS, Mr. Laliberte will share information about water issues in the world through a singular poetic approach. The messages he transmits will raise awareness for One Drop Foundation initiatives that promote water for all for water. And between poems, he'll sip the product of the first space-going closed-loop system to recycle drinking water from human urine. Seems oddly appropriate. A World War II-era Dauntless dive bomber will be recovered from the bottom of Lake Michigan on June 19th and eventually restored for display at the Pacific Aviation Museum on Ford Island in Hawaii, its original home. According to multiple media reports, the SBD Dauntless, piloted by John Lindo, experienced carb ice on a training flight in 1944 and was ditched and sank in 500 feet of water. The recovery and restoration, which is expected to cost $300,000, is being financed by former McDonald's chairman and CEO Fred Turner. McDonald's Corporation will also contribute. And there may be more where this plane came from. Ken DeHoff, the museum's executive director, says, quote, "We know that there are combat-experienced Hellcat and Corsair aircraft that have historic value that are on the floor of Lake Michigan, and we hope we can continue to go through this process," unquote. And finally today, tell me how proud you'd be if this story was about your daughter. Megan Daly is 17 years old and just graduated from an aviation technology program at Georgetown High School in Texas. She got her private ASEL certificate 3 months ago. On Monday afternoon, she was flying a Piper Tomahawk from Georgetown to the Brownwood Regional Airport so her friend, Ethan Hill, age 17, could use it for his check ride. Ethan is a junior and was riding with Megan in the plane. All went well until the oil pressure dropped, things got quiet, and the ground started getting bigger. Sounding every bit like a teenager, Megan recalled to the Abilene Reporter News, quote, "I felt like freaking out, but because of my training, I knew I had to land the plane and we could freak out later," unquote. But showing a level of cool-headedness admirable for a 17-year-old, she got the plane down with a 100-foot landing roll through 4-foot-tall grass in a field in rural Mills County. Not only did both kids walk away uninjured, but the aircraft is reusable. Or it will be after they get it home and fix the engine. After the forced landing, there was more pressure. Megan reached for her cell phone and called her dad, Dennis, a former naval aviator, and told him what happened. And yes, he's very proud. Megan plans to become a flight instructor before she enters Texas A&M next year, where she'll major in aerospace engineering. She says she hopes one day to become an airline pilot or even fly with NASA. And at this point, I don't think anyone's going to tell her she can. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, as AOPA tries to build a war chest for the next round in the battle against user fees, we flash back to former AOPA President Phil Boyer's excellent 2007 commentary on the issue. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.